Nice. You know, last Sunday we only have 19. So it's almost the lowest number in attendance for the past so many months. But welcome back. Everyone is here. And as we are actually, our congregation is actually smaller in numbers, but God's blessing is still in our midst, and His presence is always with us. So I think we need to kind of pray harder, and then we need people to really come to serve together. We do have not much resources. Like, for example, the praise team today, we only have Terry, playing guitar. Is I hope the God will call, people to come to serve together, and not only in the music but also in other part of ministries. So when you come, when you look around and we still have empty seats, pray hard for that, and be punctual, be on time. Because sometimes when I come here at like 9:30, I still kind of only a few people. And also when we sing, when we have a smaller congregation, we need to sing louder. Otherwise, I sit in the front, but sometimes it's kind of only a few voices at the back. So we need to sing harder. When we sing, we give praise to God. And secondly, singing is kind of expression of our emotion, and also, it's a dedication to God too. We need to try harder, and also pray harder for the pastor searching for the English congregation. It's hard these days to find, looking for a minister or pastor that has the passion for the younger generation. We do have several candidates, but it doesn't turn out, doesn't fit. So we still had to pray harder. We have searched for almost 7 months. We searched over all the seminaries, graduates, churches, but the response is kind of only a few, and sometimes resume sent in, but it's not really fit. So we had to pray harder for that, for the English pastor, that he or she can join this congregation to move further. So if you look at the in front of us, there is the Advent candles. So if you see today, we're supposed to light up the fourth candle. May I have an honor, have Pastor Dan to light up the candle here, Pastor Dan. This is the candle. This is the second candle. May I have the honor? It's hard to operate this one. Thank you, Pastor Dan. So if you see five Advent candles, there are three more left to light up. And the center of the candle is a symbol of Christ. So when we light the fifth candle, we actually will arrive on the Christmas Eve, which will be December 24th. So meaning that three more Sunday, we're going to light up the candle of Christ, which will be on the Christmas Eve. And one more week, we will actually welcome the new year 2018. Time flies. And we are younger, one more year, not older, younger, one more year. So as the time actually is kind of relevant too, we are not getting old, we should be getting younger. And I think it's more mature in a way, our new life inside us. And also, if you see on the wall here, we have a new Chinese character. This year is still here. The main theme is called what? What's the Chinese name for that? Over there. Ga, home, home, sweet home. We have emphasized the theme for this year is about the spiritual home. Is home our sweet home? So every congregant was actually encouraged to come together, to pray for one another, to be part of the family. This is like called home, the spiritual home. Now, next year, in a few more weeks, we're going to enter a new year, and we have a different theme of the year, which the word is, which this word is called the word. Dou, you know what? Dou, the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, John chapter 1:1, right? So you see, this stay the same. I love, or we love, home. And then next year, we love the word of God. And we actually have kind of like a main passage, which is Psalm 1. It say, you know, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So he's like a tree planted by streams of water. So next year, main theme will be life with God. That means our life is built on the word as a foundation. So next year we'll focus on the word. So like a tree planted by the streams of water. The water is a metaphor for the word of God. So we need the word of God to nourish our life. So next year we'll focus. So this word change, we actually put up earlier, but that's okay. We learn another Chinese word. What's that say in Chinese again? What? Louder. Dou. Right. Good. Okay. So that's some of the announcement, and the rest of the announcement is actually you can read on the back page of the bulletin. So let bow our head to pray. Father, we thank you for bringing us together here to worship you. May our praises from the bottom of our heart, that you will receive it and be the honor to you. We ask you to bless us, and the Holy Spirit, you illuminate us through the words, through your words, so that we can be diligent and learning, and like a tree planted at the stream of the waters, so that our life will be nourished, so that our life will grow further, and everyone will grow much like our Lord Jesus. We thank you for the time that we get together. We ask you to bless us, and may the Lord be glorified. In your Son Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So let's turn to the Bible, Psalm 121. We got a Psalm 121. I'm going to sing the psalm instead of read the psalm, because psalm is song, so it's better to sing it. But unfortunately, the version that I'm going to sing is only in Chinese, so bear with me. But as I sing and you read along in English, Psalm 121 for our brother and sister who know how to sing this song, you can sing along with me. Psalm 121.
我要向高山过去望，我的帮助从何而来？我的帮助从造天地的耶和华而来，他必不叫你的脚摇动。 保护你的必不打盹，保护以色列的也不打盹，也不睡觉。保护你的是耶和华，耶和华在你右边，因为你不日。 太阳必不伤你，夜间月亮必不害你。耶和华要保护你，免受一切的灾害。
Where does your help come from? My older grandson, Ephraim, he's now like almost 3 years, two years and 8 months. He's a naughty boy. So when my daughter and my son-in-law try to discipline him, he always come and say, gong, 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 and hide behind my back, you know, because he know when I can protect him, then he will kind of like not being punished, you know, disciplined. So to Ephraim, my grandson, I, as Gong Gong, is his Khao San, is his mountain. So who is that person, I mean, you are relying on at the moment? Who is the one that you trust and you will go in time of difficulty and seeking for comfort? Well, sometimes it can be this mountain we call, it can be things or interests that give you satisfaction in so-called this mediocre life. However, a person, or no matter it's a person or thing or interest, does it really reliable? Or does it really helpful to you in time of this difficulty? You may all understand that even the stronghold, someday or one day, it will fall or it will collapse, right? So who is your mountain to you? Psalm is kind of very popular song that we always kind of sing in churches. And in the old days, the psalmist wrote this song and they sing. Okay, let me ask you, how many songs is all together in the Bible? How many? Don't look at the Bible. 150, right? Which one is the longest psalm? Okay, let me tell you how to remember, you know. It's Psalm 119. 119, because the Hebrews have 22 alphabets. And the psalmist is using each alphabet to write eight verses, eight stanza of the song. So 8 times 22 is how many? 176 stanzas, meaning that verses in Psalm 119. It is the longest one. Now from Psalm 120 to 134, there's a total of 15 kind of short psalms that call the songs of ascents. Ascents meaning ascending, going up. It was the early pilgrim that when they traveled to the temple in Jerusalem 3 times a year, and during which they sung this song to encourage one another along the way. You know, the 3 times is one time is during Passover, is to mark the departure from Egypt. Once during the Feast of Tabernacles, in honor of the law given at Mount Sinai. And then the third one is during the Feast of Dedication, which is to commemorate the return of the temple from the Greeks by the family of Maccabees in 165 BC. These 15 Psalms of Ascents not only serve as a ritual of praises when the pilgrims entering the temple of God, but they also as a spiritual portrait of every Christian walk that always faced with challenges. This spiritual portrait also show that Christian always encounter conflicts and trials as well as the victories in life. When Reverend Eugene Peterson, he is the one, you know, great pastor that translated the whole Bible from the original languages. And he translated the first two verses in the Message Bible. He writes, verse 1, I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No, my strength comes from God who make heaven and earth and mountains. That's how he translates. Do you look up to the mountains? When would you look up to the mountains? Now, according to the Jews, the most stable, secure is the mountains around the city of Jerusalem. God had created mountains, and will man equate the world that God made with the things on it or the blessing they have bestowed from God equal to God? Meaning that will all these things that God created equal to God himself? I believe that you may have a mountain to climb, which is we call a goal to achieve, to reach. Now, being able to do what you have dreamed of, reaching a task, reaching to the peaks, really can make you feel fulfilling and successful, right? When a blessing comes to you and you have received the things, but my question is, will these things become your mountains? The success, the thing that you have kind of like proud of, that this thing will become your mountains. The psalmist reminds us that they are not your mountains. The one who created the heaven, the earth, and the mountain, God is our mountains. Not all these things that God created, but man make this thing to become their mountain instead of the creator God. In July 1997, during a hard time for the whole world, when the Asian also encountered the financial turmoil, many churches in South Korea who believe in prosperity theology, they fell into crisis. Now, what does it mean by prosperity theology? Sometimes it's referred to the prosperity gospel. Prosperity theology, they believe that the financial blessing and physical well-being are always the will of God. And that faith, the positive thinking, and the donation to religious causes will increase the Christian's material wealth. If Christians have faith in God, they believe that God will deliver security and prosperity. So that is how God prosperity gospel means. There's a lot of the church these days, they believe such kind of gospel. At that time, many believers, because they invest a lot of money into the financial market and they went bankrupt. Their lives were in trouble and their health was deteriorating. Some of them even commit suicides. At that time, they thought God seemed to ignore and forsook them already. But however, this psalm tells us that God is greater than all these man-made fortresses, because he is the creator of heaven and earth, and at the same time, he gave us a mountain, but he is much bigger, and he's perfectly reliable. Even though people look up to the mountain and think the mountain is more secure and reliable, but they are not. God is even bigger, and he is perfectly reliable. Indeed, God gave people wealth, health, and family. But this thing can be changed. Sudden loss of work, a job, chronic disease, terminal illnesses, rejection by the peer or by family members, etc. So I'm asking, brother and sister here, will you accept the fact that God can give us goodness, blessing, and at the same time, God can give us troubles? Most of the time, we think that God all the time give us blessing, but Job chapter 2, verse 10, it says, God has a sovereignty, even he can give us troubles. When you climb to the peak of life, do you want to gain the experience and feel good about it, or you want to encounter God there on that mountain, on the peak of life? Do you want to experience that kind of experience, or just you really want to encounter God over there? Do you want to get grace and blessing from the Lord so that you may feel happier? Or you truly want to worship the grace-giving Lord? You know, our means can sometimes become our ends, and the end can become the mean. If God is God our ultimate joy, is God is our ultimate satisfaction, or he is just our genie? I wish come true. Thank you, God. I wish come true. Is God our genie? What happened when we cannot get what we want? What happened? We can give thanks to God when we have what we want. What happened? Can you still give thanks to God when you cannot get what you want? Well, sometimes when we cannot get what we want, we will complain. Can we still praise God even in the midst of all the uncertainties, and sometimes we encounter difficulty in life and trouble, even when we diagnose cancer or whatever illness we have? To face that, do you still can give thanks to God for that? Or you will keep asking, why is me? What are you pursuing at the moment? In this culture of so-called consumerism, are you seeking personal satisfaction in order to feed your ego? This day, our ego is being fed so much in school, at home, even in church. And our ego becomes bigger and bigger. And sometimes even it's blind our eyes to see the presence of God and the weaknesses of human being. And Jesus commands us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Are you seeking at the moment the kingdom of God, or actually you are seeking for something else? There is a repetitive word throughout Psalm 121, which is the word of watch over. Verse 3, he who watches over you. Verse 4, he who watches over Israel. And verse 5, the Lord watches over you. Why our God has to watch over us? Why? It is because we are so easy to slip and fall. The psalmist said, he will not let your foot slip. Verse 3. What will make us easy slip? What will make us easy slip in life? Tell me, what thing will cause you slip easy? What kind of things? I can think of is fear. The devil always put fear in us. The fear, not the fear of God, but fear of something else. Fear of losing something. Fear of insufficiencies. Fear of acceptance. There's a lot of fears in our life. You know, when the pilgrim go to the temple on the mountain. They have to go through the wilderness. And you know that in the old, in ancient time, you know, during the time when they had to travel, you know, on foot, sometimes they have to go through all these like dangerous stuff. And they had to bear the heat from the sun during the daytime and the cold at night. And because of the drastic change of climate, it can be a threat to their physical body. In addition, the wild animals, the poisonous snake, can also be a big danger to them. So likewise, the heavenly pilgrim, like the Christian, like us, had to go through temptation and attacks from the Satan. And Satan always put fear into our life and make our feet easily become weak, and then we slip. We need to understand how weak we are in front of all the trials in life, brothers and sisters. The time of the day when we say, I'm strong, is a time you easily slip. There is nothing we can boast about, neither our so-called mountains nor our own self. It is only by the grace of God, particularly our younger generation here, you think you are the hero. You are the superhero because everybody thinks about we are superhero here in America. We are not superhero. We are human doing. Yeah. Not even being. We are super human doing. We are just human being, the creatures made by God. So it is only by the grace of God, the strength of Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit that we can claim victory in life. Brothers and sisters, now we have passed the Thanksgiving, okay? But think, try to think how long ago that you have been watched over and protected by God in a time of your weakness or in a time of dangers. When? When was it? Recently? A year ago, 5 years ago, for the younger generation, you don't have that many to count it back, but I got a lot. I got at least 60-something years. For Pastor Dan, you have to count a long way, right? But we can still count our blessings. And then tell me, how does God protect you? The psalmist said that God is different from any other God because in the ancient time, the people that worship other gods, they think that their gods, sometimes they have to go to sleep because they're tired, right? Okay. But God is different from the other god. The psalmist said, God that we believe, who believe that he does not need to rest, he does not need to eat or sleep because he don't need to take nap. He is there from the beginning to the end to help all who belong to him. He will protect them from all the sun and the moon, respectively, meaning that God will protect us day and night, 24 hours, 7-11, you know, whatever, I don't know, 24-hour protection. As the law, the Bible said, verse 5, as the law is our shape at our right hand. Why on the right hand, not on the left hand? Why? Why God become the shape of on our right hand, not the right hand, not the left hand? Why? Now here, it reminds me of a soldier. A soldier holding a sword, usually what? On his, what? Right hand or left hand? For myself, I'm left-handed, so I always holding sword on my left, which is wrong. Usually, right, it's supposed to be here, right? Right hand, right? So God is protecting the side which is supposed to holding the sword. The sword is meaning that the soldier can attack. The soldier can rely on the sword to fight, right? And if God is become the shape of on the right hand, meaning that God is going to make us or to remind us that we always have a humble heart. Because sometimes we always rely on the sword to fight. But God began to shape on the right hand, that meaning that we need to be humble before God and understand that we are weak. Even though we're holding the sword on the right hand, and God become the shape on the right hand, is that we are being reminded to be depend on God, even if we have the ability to fight. Because what the Bible said in Proverbs chapter 16 said, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Be humble. The time when you try to boast yourself is the time you're going to destroy yourself. So remember, don't rely on your own ability. Depend on God. And when the psalmist said the Lord will keep you from all harm, it doesn't mean we will not encounter dangers or suffering in life. Yes, our life will get hurt, but it will not be harmed. You understand what I mean? You got hurt, but our life will not be harmed. Now, if I say, may the Lord keep you from all harm, watch over your life. May the Lord watch over your coming and going both now and for come and forevermore. If I say like this, what does it sound like to you? May the Lord keep you from all harm, watch over your life. May the Lord watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. What does it sound like to you? Does it sound like giving a benediction? Right? The word benediction is actually mean well saying or like good news, good words. Usually benediction was given at the end of the worship. We receive the blessing and a good word of God through a pastor. So we call it benediction. We all need it because when we enter into the world again, like Sunday afternoon, when we go back to a home, and Monday when you start working or go back to school, we again to face the unpredictable future. And we also at the same time face the weakness and fragility of our own lives. So that we have to recognize that we must trust and depend on the Word of God. We have to trust and depend on God. Because life is not easy. And things is unpredictable. To receive blessing is to accept our own limitation and understand human beings are so vulnerable. And we have to be submissive to the sovereignty of God. This is in the contrary of the basic principle of sin, because the principle of sin is that sin is not trusting God and rejecting His love. This is called sin. When God commanded Adam and Eve not to eat the fruit of the tree and of good and evil, it is as if Jesus remind the disciple that the branches cannot be separated from the trunk. Otherwise, they will certainly wither away. You know, sin is not just commission or omission of something. Sin is a condition. It is when the creature is separated from the creature, a creator. Man, if man disconnected from God, this is called sin. However, when we worship, we begin to sing praises, we give thanks to God, we accept His love, and at the end, we receive the blessing through the benediction. It is as if we are returning to the beginning of the Garden of Eden. That means we keep on trusting God and receiving His love and blessing, just like in the beginning of the world that God created the mankind and put them in the Garden of Eden. And every day they can have fellowship together. They just walk along the way and they enjoy the company. But sin keep them apart. But then when we come back again as a newborn Christian, you know, we have new life, we the new creation, then we seem like going back to that time. We enjoy the fellowship. We receive the love and blessing from God. But however, human beings are so forgetful, we always need to keep asking ourselves, is that Sometimes when we come to the worship, when we come to church, it's just like a habit. It's like a ritual. Or sometimes even we think that mom and dad, you know, just asked me to come. You know, I have no choice. We have to ask ourselves, does God have something to do with me? If I come here, what is your relationship to God? You know, if he's just kind of like far, far away, you know, the old kind face, like old man, you know, sitting over there all the way, it's so high up. I can't even feel about, you know, the presence. As you say, Pastor, the presence of God, I can't feel it. I just, some people just make me come. Or something that I have to come, you know, I have nothing to do on Sunday, you know, because it's all the habit already. We have to keep asking ourselves, does God have something to do with me? Or he just turned on the autopilot mode after he created the heaven and earth and let the whole world, the people on it, the economy of it, operates according to the laws of nature, according to the law of ethical norms and policies. He don't even care. No surprises, because he has nothing to do with our ordinary lives. Yes, it will. If we compartmentalize our belief into a Sunday-only frame, we come here like, in a way, like a ritual, like a tradition, or like something that we need to do on a Sunday morning. And so we compartmentalize, put God in that box, which is happened that it's on that time we come to him and worship him, but the rest of the time is belong to me. And so that the faith in Christ will be marginalized and become, well, what Jesus is teaching, it just become a spiritual concept. And his teaching is to become kind of like a universal values. But this psalm reminds us that God not only created both heaven and earth, but he also at the same time, he is close to us. Paul said he is over all and through all and in all, Ephesians chapter 4, 6. He is both transcendental, meaning he's above, but he's inner dwelling. He is inside us. God never slumbers or sleep, and he is with us, and he watch over our coming and going forevermore. God is always with us, and every moment in life, there is the trace of God. But we may not often notice, because you are so busy. For God, nothing is coincidence, but only we could not understand for the time being why it's happening. Why I have something like this? I don't want it. Why I have a cancer? I don't understand. But nothing is a coincidence. As a matter of fact, life is full of surprises. Yeah, sometimes surprise is not what the thing you want. But life is still full of surprises. But surprises with meanings. If we can always aware of the everlasting presence of God, you will appreciate it, that, you know, life is so wonderful. Is your life wonderful at the moment? Or is it miserable? Does homework cause you like pain, much pain? Or the trials and sufferings, or things that is not like happening so positive or so good, that thing like is boring and no meaning at all? God promises not only he is with us. And this psalm is a psalm of ascents which the pilgrims sang to one another on the way to Jerusalem. So it reminds us that God also dwells among us through the pilgrimage community, which is this church. Church is our home, and church is a family within which the members is together. God dwells through this community, and that his people come together to walk side by side, helping one another and watch over one another so that our feet will not sleep. Changes in life are inevitable, but our Heavenly Father does not change like shifting shadows, just like James said. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as like the book of Hebrews said. His everlasting presence and love will always with us, in us. When you lift your eyes to the mountains, let me ask you one more time, brother and sister, where does your help come from? Is your help come from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, or something else? Remember, our help is not from this world, because the world will change. And our help will not come from the man, just like you're saying they are helping you. They are your Khaosan, they are mountain. But I tell you, man, one day they will pass. As for me, I'm certain that my help is come from the Lord, who doesn't slumber and sleep, and he is my shade at my right hand. So again, I'm asking you again, what about you? If you are with me, then we must, in all our ways, in our lives, to acknowledge God. To acknowledge God. He is your ultimate. He is your ultimate joy and satisfaction. If I make this commitment, will you also make this commitment this morning? May God bless His word. And let's sing the song response. As we prepare our heart to